Okay, we're on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Yerches Amid Aleph. We discussed the first half of the Mishnah, the laws of a Kohen Gadol, in terms of what a Kohen Gadol can do. We said that he may judge and may be judged. He can testify and you can testify against him. He can perform a chalitza, and people do chalitza for his widowed wife. He cannot do yibum, but his brothers can do yibum for him. Then we discuss various laws of how he does the mourning practices and the words of comfort that happen. Now we're going to move on. Yeah?
Why do we worry about the brothers who do evil for him? Like if he dies, they can...
Okay, just hold on. The Gemara is going to ask all those questions. So now we go on to a king. Hamelech lo don v'lo donin oso. A king does not do a judgment. He's not allowed to judge. Volodona said, we don't judge a king. So that's different than a Kohen, you see. So now you already see why we mentioned Kohen. Because since we see by a king, we don't judge him and he doesn't judge. So you might think the same thing applies to a Kohen Gadol. So you see, a Kohen Gadol is not like that. Tomorrow we'll discuss this further. And you want to know why? You have to just wait. There's no whys coming up now. Just facts. Tomorrow we'll discuss the whys. Lo meid, a king does not testify, v'lo meid and oso, and they don't testify against him. Lo choletz, he does not perform chalitza for his brother. V'lo chotz and lisha, they don't perform chalitza for his wife. Okay. Lo miyabim, he does not do yibim to his brother's wife. V'lo miyabim lisha, they don't do yibim to his wife. So this is almost totally the opposite of a Kohen Gadol. Totally the opposite. Now this last point, Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue on the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Imrotz alachlots oliyavam zochur latov. If the king wishes to do chalitza on the wife of his deceased brother, or to yibum, he shall be remembered favorably. Okay, so that's an argument. The Tanakhama says he doesn't. And now Rabbi Yehuda says, if he does it, it's a good thing. Amar lo, the rabbi said to Rabbi Yehuda, nope. Ein shomim lo, if a king wants to perform chalitza yibum, we don't listen to him. Okay, so they disagree. Okay, now another point. Ve'ein no sin almanoso. A king, one may not marry a king's widow. Okay? Or, in other words, anyone who's married to the king, it takes away from the honor of the king if someone else marries her. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, no se'amelech amonosomach, but a king may marry a widow of another king. And how do you know this? Shekem atzinu b'David. He says, by David, shenos amonosa shol shol. He married the widow of Shol. So how do you end up marrying a widow? Shenamar, as it says, the prophet says to him, and I, Hashem, gave David the house of your master Shaul and the women of your master to you, into your lap. See that is can be done. Okay, a lot of questions. So now we're going to go into the Gemara that's going to discuss probably everything you had in mind over here. Back to the first point of the Mishnah. A Kohen Gadol may judge. So Gemara on that. Kohen Gadol don. Those words of the Mishnah, a Kohen Gadol may judge. Gemara asks right away, Pshita. It's obvious a Kohen Gadol can judge. So why the Mishnah have to mention it? The answer is, because don in osa ischachle. You're right. It didn't have to mention he can judge. But it does have to mention it that he is judged. And since it mentions he is judged, so for stylistic purposes, it says he judges and he may be judged. Okay, otherwise we would have thought that a Kohen Gadol doesn't have to be degraded by going into a court. So you might think that it's an insult to bring a Kohen Gadol to even have to assume he's done anything wrong, right? So, no, we have to mention that he is judged. And once he mentions that he's judged, so Jewish, you're right, it's not a chiddush, but just for balance, we say he judges and is judged. Where it turns around, wait a minute, you're saying the whole reason we say he judges is because he is judged, and he is judged is a chiddush? No. Hanami pshita, that's also obvious that a Kohen Gadol can be judged. What do you mean? He's beyond the law? Right? Gemara says, Ilo Daili, because if we can't judge him, how is he allowed to judge others? In other words, you can't judge others. It's a rule of thumb. No one can be a judge and judge others unless he can be scrutinized as well. And the source for that is a pasuk in the Navi. Vaksiv, the pasuk says, Hiskoishishu v'koshu. Search within yourself and then search others. As Gemara explains, V'amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish explains, Kshor Atzmacha, correct yourselves, V'yacherkat, Kshot Acherim, and then go fix up others. All right? So therefore, there's no need to say either side over here. All right? Of course, you can't judge somebody unless you can be judged. And it's obvious that a coin can be judged. And it's therefore obvious a coin can judge. And it's obvious he can't be judged. So the whole line is extra. Gemara says, you know what? You're right. The whole line is extra. So why'd you put it in for? Well, to show you the distinction between him and a king. Ela Aidi, but since the Kaboy Lemisni, since the Mishnah is going to teach us later on, Melech, and that a king lo dun may not judge, velo dun in a so cannot be judged. So therefore, for balance, to show you the contrast, in other words, there's no chiddush, but sometimes we mention it just to set up where the chiddush is, to contrast that although it's obvious that a kohen gadol doesn't judge and is not judged, no chiddush there, but it's contrasting that to a king who may not judge and is not judged. And that's the reason why we put it. Tananami was also okay. So 1 second. It was also taught a kohen gadol don v'don, and kohen gadol may judge and be judged. All right. So therefore, it also says a kohen gadol can be judged and be judged. Now, since we have to mention a king cannot judge and cannot be judged, so we also mentioned that kohen gadol can judge and can be judged. So there's no chiddush by kohen gadol. It's just set down there as a contrast to a king. That's answer number one. We're now going to begin answer number two that goes quite lengthily to just say, no, maybe we do need a reason to say kohen gadol, and there is a chiddush, which we'll see in a minute. Yeah.
So you know that story with King Solomon, he judges with a baby. He makes a decision.
All right, that was not a Sanhedrin issue. There's Sanhedrin issues?
It could be on a Sanhedrin, but really Sanhedrin.
Well, that's what they're basically saying.
You can't judge between
right. Well, a king has to do what a king does.
Right.
Has to make decisions. Right, right. Okay, so that was answer number one. Answer number one is there's absolutely no chiddush that a kohen can judge or be judged. The only reason we put it in is for balance to show the distinction between that and a king. The next answer is going to first, to bring the answer, they're going to bring a whole brisa, and then they're going to get sidetracked and going to explain the brisa and ask questions on the brisa. And then when you come to the final ending of the last question, last answer of the brisa, then it becomes obvious that what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. So you have to halt the cup. I don't even know if we'll get to the end today. I hope so. But the answer will just kind of fall into place. Okay, so this second line of reasoning is saying that the second answer is saying, no, there is a chiddush, and you'll see what the chiddush is by the time we work our way through this brisa. V'boi said, if you want, I could tell you there is a chiddush. Ha kamash malan, there is a chiddush by saying that a kohen can judge and be judged. Kedetanya, as we learn in the following brisa, and now we have to meander through a long brisa. Kohen gadol shaharages hanefesh. Let's say now a kohen gadol kills somebody. What's the law? Well, first of all, we have to decide, is it intentional or not intentional? So if it's bemazid, if we have witnesses and everything in the whole 9 yards, then nerag, then we kill him. That's obvious. Bishogeg, here's where the chiddush is. What if he kills truly unintentionally? Gola, he is sent into exile. Okay, as the law is, and I know what you're thinking already. So that's going to be a problem, which the Bryce is going to address shortly. Okay, let's just read the Bryce. Gemara is going to now analyze this Bryce. Now, the next line does not make any sense, and Gemara is going to tell you right away we don't understand the next line. The Over and he transgresses al essay either a positive commandment, falosa say, or a negative commandment. Okay, what does that mean? Gemara's going to ask in a second. What does that mean? What does that mean? Brisa goes on. And he is judged as a common man in all respects. That also needs, that's the Brisa. So a lot of enigmatic statements in this Brisa. So now the Gemara wants to analyze, before getting to the point of this Brisa that's saying the Chiddush of our Mishnah, we have to analyze the Brisa. Well, let's take it step by step. If he calls intentionally, okay, that's obvious. Why should we treat him differently? Okay, so there's no chiddush there, but again, it's setting up the next line. Here's the problem. B'shogeg goyle, when the Brisa says, when he kills b'shogeg, unintentionally, he goes to the Gauls, Israel, that's what we need it for. So for the sake of the parallelism, first he put in intentional, but the chiddush is the second one. If he kills unintentionally, he does go into Gauls. Now that's a chiddush, because why would I think otherwise?
Just to do the avoda in the basement.
No, we'll get another coin go to Luda Vod in Beis Magish. Why would I think this would not be so? And there is a Chiddush there.
He has no way of getting out.
Remember, what's the normal rule? When a person kills unintentionally, when does he go out? When the coin go to, who is alive at the time of his sentencing, dies, then he goes out. But if he is the coin go to who killed, then he is the coin go to at the time. He'll never go out. So I would think you can't do that. There's going to be a chiddush over there. So first, we'll see. That's what's going to happen. But the Gemara is not up to that point yet. The Gemara says, wait a minute. If he goes and goes, Hanami Pshita. That's also obviously he kills until she goes to the Golas. No. Here's the chiddush. It's your queen. I might have thought, let's see what it says by a normal person who kills unintentionally. It says, the Yashav Ba, the person who killed, sits in the Ira Miklot ad Mosa Koine Gadol until the high priest dies. So I think the following rule would have to apply. Ema, I would have thought, called the Esei Takanta, anybody who can get fixed up Bechazara by going back, can get fixed up by a Koine Gadol dying, legally can go into Galus. In other words, it's only right that only if the guy's got the chance to get out do we send him to Galus. And I might have thought to say, but the lay say taganta b'chasar, but a guy who can't ever fix himself up by getting out of that golas, lo legally, you can't get out. How do I know that? And that's the thing I would have thought. Because Torah says he goes into golas until the kohen gadol dies. Seems the Torah is connecting the two. He goes to golas, but we're not going to be so harsh, he's going to be there forever, he'll eventually be able to get out. So I figure, well, maybe we'll only make a guy into golas who has the way out. If he has no way out, why should we send him there? It's not, because how do we know this? We learned in a Mishnah that says the following. We're going up to the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis. It says, Ha Horeg Kohen Gadol. What if somebody kills a Kohen Gadol inadvertently? Okay. O Kohen Gadol Shehoreg Es HaNefesh. Or Kohen Gadol who kills somebody else. Eina Yotze Misham Liolam. May never leave the city of refuge. So since he could never leave the city of Wetsu, so then when can he ever return? So Eimalo legally, I think you couldn't go out. You wouldn't exile him as well. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, no, a Kohen Gadol is subject to exile. So that's not have to do with our trying to answer the Chiddush of our Mishnah now. It's just telling you Pshat and the Brisa. We have to move on now. Now we're just learning a brisa. We're getting sidetracked, but let's not forget that the Gemara is going to try to bring a second answer to the question, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Let's say, no, hachanami. Wait a minute, let's say the guy claims should not go into exile. Why should that be the law? Maybe the brisa is wrong. So no, it says, Omar Krah, the text says, lanus shama, to run there, call roitzayah. Every murder. Why'd you have to say we're called? Just say to run there, the rotzeach. The killer should go there. Why'd you say all? All means afilu kohen gadol b'mashma. That includes a kohen gadol. Okay? So now we understand. So now we just understood one line of a brisa. We're not yet to the point we're trying to get to. Okay? So that's the chiddush, a kohen gadol. That's really not good for a kohen gadol to kill somebody by accident. He ain't ever going to get out. But then again, okay, anyway.
If he goes there, is he still a Kohen Gadol?
No.
So
he's somebody else has to take over. Just like a Kohen Gadol. Let's say a Kohen Gadol gets a mum. Let's say a Kohen gets a blemish. And let's say, you know, so he's no more Kohen Gadol.
So wouldn't he be freed if the other guy does?
No. Because if you recall in Makos, many moons ago, only the Kohen Gadol at the time of your killing and I think also sentencing, it's Machlokas or whatever, it can't be a new Kohen Gadol. So he's stuck. And they discussed the issue, what if somebody killed unintentionally between one Kohen Gadol died and before they anointed the next Kohen Gadol? I think that's also, isn't it? I remember in Makos there was a discussion. So it's a problem. So if you decide to kill unintentionally, choose it a good time when there's an old Kohen Gadol around. Okay, now, well, we have to go on with the Braisa. The Braisa now says the next line, which is also a difficult line in the Braisa. The Braisa says about a Kohen Gadol, Oivra lase, he transgresses a positive mitzvah, va'alos, and he's trying to say a negative command. What's that going on? We just said if he kills intentionally, he gets killed. Unintentionally, goes to exile. And then we say, and he transgresses a positive and a negative. So Gemara doesn't understand the line. Where it says, lo sagi de lo aver, must he transgress? In other words, the Braisa seems to say that Kohen Gadol is supposed to transgress the Torah's commandments. The wording of the, we know this isn't true, but the wording says, a Kohen Gadol who kills intentionally gets killed, unintentionally goes to exile, and a Kohen Gadol transgresses positive averis and transgresses negative averis. What do you mean we're telling you to transgress? So that's obviously not what the Braisa means. Hold on, this is what it says. It means like this. Im avar alase, let's say if he does transgress a positive mitzvah, a regular positive mitzvah, he doesn't put on tzitzis. I don't know. Va'alos, or he transgresses a regular negative. He eats treif. We're not talking about murder, that stuff. We already learned in the Mishnah, if it's a murder issue, a capital case, he's gone before Sanhedrin 71, right? This is what the Gemara is saying. The Braisa is saying, if he transgresses a regular mitzvah, let's say he transgresses a regular asay, transgresses a regular negative asay, the Braisa means to say, harehu kehejet l'chol dvar, he's treated like a commoner in all respects. In other words, he doesn't go to a court of 71, he goes to a regular court of 3, like all people. Okay, let's say that's not fair that carries lashes. He ate treif. Okay, if we prove he ate treif, he gets lashes. So now, what kind of court does he go to? So he goes, it's like a regular guy. So what's a regular guy? He gets three as well. Only a capital case that our Mishnah said. Oh, that goes to 171. Gemara, that's all the Braisa. Gemara now says, wait a minute. Pshita, that's obvious as well. Why should a Kohen Gadol be treated any differently in that aspect? He should be, it's not a capital case, so he should be three like anybody else should be three. Gemara says, no. Salchem, and I might have thought. Now we got to pay close attention now. I might have thought, hol utnan, since we already learned in the Mishnah earlier, it says, ein donin lo es hashevet, v'lo es hanovi hasheker, v'lo es kohen gadol. You don't judge a tribe or a false prophet or a kohen gadol for capital offenses. LLP bezin shalshim vechet, since you have to use 71, right? And how do we know that? How do we remember? What was the proof that a kohen gadol is done with 71? Do you remember what the proof was? Wasn't that long ago? Rav Adav says, "Kol Dover HaGodol, Moshe, any big thing you bring to me," and we explained it to mean what? Dvarav Shel Godol, mastering a big person, is brought to Moshe, it's like 71. So that's a matter of a big person. So isn't the Kohen Gadol a big person for everything? He's a big person if he kills, he's a big person if he eats treif. Ema, I would have thought, Kol Dvar Shel, everything that a Kohen Gadol would do is brought before 71. That's what I might have thought. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is no, only for capital offenses. But for small things, it's like a regular Ghost of 3. That's the point of the Braisa, because it's different than capital offenses. We're already treating him differently anyway. Normal capital offenses where regular prison goes to 23. He goes to 71. So already treat a Kohen Gadol different than regular people. So I might think if that's a simpler Avera, he would still have to be treated differently. The Chiddush of the Braisa is treated like everybody else. Gemara says, no, maybe Taka he should be. Wait a minute, maybe the Braisa is wrong. Maybe he should go to the court of 71 for everything. Ve'ema, let's Taka say, Hachanami indeed, he has to go to 71 all the time. He said, no. Miksiv, does it say divrei gadol? It doesn't say the matters of a great one is brought to Moshe. That would say the matters of a great person means, oh, then a kohen gadol is a great person. That would mean anything. But it says, ha-davar, ha-gadol, the matter of the great one, ksiv. All right? The matter, the thing of the gadol, that means davar gadol mamish, only matter that is truly great, a capital offense in a court of 71. Matters of less is not. So now you're going to ask, so how do we answer this question? This is now giving us a second answer to our question. Why does it say that a Kohen Gadol is judged and may judge? So what's the Chiddush? Answer one was stylistically compared to a king. Now what's the second answer saying? So now the Gemara tells us. From this, Bryce Gemara derives the answer to its original question. Why did our Mishnah find necessary to say a Kohen Gadol is judged? The answer of the Mishnah teaches the Rabbi that in non-capital cases, a Kohen Gadol is judged by quarter three like all other people. That's the point of this. So Kohen Gadol is judged, meaning he's judged like everybody else if it's not capital cases. That's Mishnah 2. Mishnah 1 says a Kohen Gadol for a capital case is judged with 71. Now this Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol judges and may judge. What does it mean? He is judged, rather. He is judged like a regular guy for regular types of sins, exclusion of that of murder. So that's what the point is.
Can you go back to that one?
I'm sorry?
We just said the matter, it was a matter was singular, the Kohen Gadol.
All right, let's go back. Are you want me to do that part again? So, Miksiv, did it say divrei gadol, the matters of the great one? If it says the matters of the great one, then any matter of the great one would go. It didn't say that. What did it say? It didn't say divrei gadol. It says hadavar, the thing, hagadol, of the great one. All right, it's two things. Hadavar, the matter. Not any matter, just the, not divrei, matters of, the matter of the great one.
It doesn't say the great matter of the great, it just says...
No, the is always a special the. Never put the prefix the unless it's unique. It could have said the matters of a great one. If it meant to say everything a Kohen Gadol does goes to the high court, it should have said the matters of a great person. It just says the matter of a great person. So what's the matter? That's one matter, not many matters, right? Only a matter that is truly great.
Okay, so
matters of lesser import, blah, blah, blah. So it's the matter of the great one. So the great one's Kohen Gadol. The matter must be a big thing. Big thing is a death penalty, because if we wanted to conclude everything, it should have said divrei, the matters of the great one. The matters of would include anything he does. When you say, hey, the matter, that's a very special matter, not just any old matter. That's how the Gemara is understanding it. You want to say the matter means any matter, yes. That's what...
I would be happy to understand, let's see. Great matter of the great one or something like that, because we're taking... I think we're having both sides of the argument.
Okay, anyway, that's that point.
So if he was Mechal Shabbos, it would be a great matter.
Yeah, because that's death penalty.
Right.
Any capital crimes, Hadavar, Hagadol. Or you could say it's a double nintandra, like the big thing for the big man. Hadavar, Hagadol. Okay, next point of the Mishnah. Made, he may testify. Umeinu can testify against him. Again, we're going to ask, what's the chiddush over there as well? What do you mean? Why not? Right? Oop-a. Made, he can testify. Now I'm going to ask a question. Not what the obvious, I'm going to ask a question. Now, why would, give me a what kind of svar could you think of to say a Kohen Gadol should not be required to testify in a court? Try to think up of a svar. The Mishnah says he does testify. Try to give me an argument. Why would you think logically a Kohen Gadol should not have to testify?
He traveled all these courts around Israel, like, you know, be batel le'avoda.
That's a very good thought. Mora doesn't say that though. But that's a good. He said you're going to stop him from his work. But then again, does a Kohen Gadol really have to do anything besides the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur?
Yeah, it's a daily offering.
I don't know if he has to bring the. Another Kohen could do it. So someone else could do it, so that kind of knocks down your thing. All right, well let's recall there's an issue. Let's say you find a lost object required to return it, right? Who's excluded from that?
A big man.
A big tzaddik, we call him Zokein Ve'en Lefik Kvodo, an elder, and it's not to his honor. In other words, let's say an elder lost something. He's so important, he's not going to waste his time on it. And therefore, the Torah says he doesn't have to pick up a lost object. It's not to his honor. It's beneath his dignity. He wouldn't do it. We don't make people go beneath their dignity. You know, if you dropped a penny, Shelley, would you pick it up? A nickel. As you have a bunch of bags and you just dropped a nickel, I'm going to have to take down the bags and pick up the nickel. And then, what are you going to do? Many people, not accountants, but many people would, heck with the nickel. Who needs a nickel?
A lost object could be a big lost object, like a valuable lost object.
Doesn't matter.
Then it's not beneath your dignity.
Then it's not. Then it's. No, but we're talking about it's not. You don't bother with these things, or more than that, it's just not his dignity to go looking for things. He doesn't look. Even if he lost something, he wouldn't look for it. He'd have his workers look for it. Donald Trump lost anything, he would have one of his workers find it. He wouldn't waste his time looking for it. So why should I waste somebody else? So the Gemara is going to suggest that for Kohen Gadol to go into court and to testify, it's beneath his dignity. That's what it's going to suggest. I would have thought it's beneath his dignity. Because remember, what do they do when they go to court, in a Jewish court? They don't just say, do you swear to tell the whole truth, but help your God? What do they say? Hold a safer Torah. Do you know what it means if you lie in a court? You know what's going to happen if you lie in a court? God's going to punish you. God's going to this. We're going to put fear into the guy. You're going to put the Kohen Gadol through this? Come on, give me a break, man. I'm the Kohen Gadol. I know everything about fear of God. So it's humiliating for a Kohen. What is it? It's not for his honor that we're going to give him this the third degree. So that's what I would have thought. So that's what Gemara is going to ask. V'hatanya, why do we make him test it? We learned in our Baisa, the Torah says, V'salamta, and shall you hide from returning a lost object? Gemara says, why does it have to say, shall you hide yourself? Gemara there implies there are certain times when you're allowed to hide yourself. Pa'amim, sometimes, sha'atam isam. Sometimes you may hide yourself. Upa'amim, sha'atam isam. Sometimes you're not allowed to hide yourself when you find a lost object. Okay, so let's have an example of that. Kohen, v'hu beis koras. Let's say he's a kohen and the lost object's in a cemetery. Obviously, the kohen does not have to go after it because that would make himself tummy. But the one we need is zokein, an elderly man. V'eli kvod, it's not for his honor to pick up a particular object. He doesn't have to do it. Or another exception, oishosu malacha shlo merubah shel chavero. The finder's work is greater value than the friend's object. In other words, my time is worth more. Lakach never ever says v'salamta. You can hide yourself. So why is the Kohen Gadol obliged to demean himself to do it on behalf of to testify for somebody else? So that's the question, right? Correct? Yeah. So Amar of Yosef, the Gemara answers. No, there is a time where it's not beneath his dignity. Made Lamelech. What if he has to testify for a king? And he's testifying on behalf of a king. It's not the beneath the dignity of a Kohen Gadol, because that's for a very important guy. Wait a minute. How could you say that? How could you say we just said? But now we learned in the Mishnah, Lo Dun, you don't judge a king. For Lo Dun, he doesn't judge. Lo Dun saying he can't judge, and he's not judged. Lo Made, he doesn't testify. Lo Made, he doesn't testify for others. So that can't be why the Kohen Gadol is doing that. So that doesn't go. El, another answer. I'm Rav Zera. Made Leben Melech. Maybe we're going to say the Kohen Gadol can testify for the son of a king who's being judged. That's not beneath his dignity. Where it says, nope. Ben Melech Hevyu. I don't care. A prince is still a commoner. And it's beneath the Kohen Gadol's dignity for that. So Ella. So let's say like this. It means like this. Made Bifnei HaMelech. He testifies before a king. Before. before a king. It's not as difficult to have before the king. More thinks that means the king is probably the judge. I mean, how else would he be doing it before? Which more says, wait a minute, no. Sanhedrin. But you can't put a king on the Sanhedrin. Right? So that won't work. Well, no, maybe the king came, but maybe the honor due to the Kohen Gadol, who's giving testimony, also. Maybe the king is here because the Kohen Gadol is giving testimony. He's going to be there to give him honor. Also, the king may, in other words, to give honor to Kohen Gadol, us, the king can come, the Yosef, and sit. So he's present for things, but doesn't participate. So therefore, what are we saying now? At this point, the Gemara is returning to its previous position that the Kohen Gadol is testifying on behalf of the king's son, for a king would not come to a court merely to be present in proceedings where it is not for his son. In other words, the son is being judged, the king's going to come, so now the Kohen Gadol can come because he's coming in front of the king, and it's sort of on behalf of the king's son, so that fits out. So therefore, that would be the case. So, after the Gadol's testimony is heard, Koi Hava, the king rises, also then leaves. See, the king can't be there when the judges are adjudicating, but he's coming there to hear the testimony for his son. And we, the other judge, examine the case of the king's son. And that's the case. That's the case where a Koyen would, in other words, normally a Koyen Gadol does not testify. Only if he has to come and testify regarding the king's son, and the king is going to be there. So in honor of the king and the king's presence, and the king is really honoring the Kohen Gadol, as it were, so there's already a dignitary there, that works out. Okay, and then we're going to stop right here.